This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on March 17th, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 12. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. My address today is going to pick up on these words and some of the words which follow these words in the gospel reading, where Jesus says, "But I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself." But just to revisit those words from the gospel reading, "Very truly I tell you," Jesus says, "unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." What does Jesus mean by all of this? Well, Jenny has given us a lovely introduction to this today. Thanks, Jen. I'm certainly no wheat farmer, and I'm not any sort of a gardener either, so you taught me a lot this morning. Thank you. Jesus made this statement so that the original hearers, unlike poor gardeners like me, would understand, I think. Those original hearers knew the wheat space. They understood the farming space. Jesus is saying here that as long as the grain of wheat keeps on being a single kernel in the head of a stalk of wheat, it remains just that, just a lone kernel of wheat. It's only when it's detached from the head and buried into the ground by the farmer that it produces much grain. Jesus is speaking not only to those original hearers, though, is he, but also to us today, even poor gardeners like me. He's referring to himself and, as Jenny said, to his death, the death that he will die, the one grain of wheat, if you will, which will produce blessing in the form of God's grace and gift of forgiveness, sure forgiveness for so many people, including you and me today. And a key element of the crop produced is the formation of individuals who come to faith, individuals who are forgiven, and come into a community of faith in the church. And for the next few minutes, I'd like to explore with you what this means for us to be a community of faith formed by God. We've been doing a journey here during the season of Lent, a journey on the way of the cross. Today I ask, what does it mean for us together to walk this journey on the way of the cross? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you said to your disciples, "But I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself." By your Holy Spirit, draw us to yourself now. Help us to hear you and to follow you on the way of the cross. Amen. Community life. During the Wednesdays of this Lenten season, our young adult community has invited us to come and join them on their regular Wednesday time slots as we've been exploring the nature of Christian community as it's witnessed through the community of faith at Philippi many years ago. We're looking at the book of Philippians, and we've also had a bit of a look at Acts chapter 16. And out of that, some key and salient points have risen to the top in our studies thus far. So please come along this Wednesday if you're able to join us in that space too at Station Street. One of the things that stood out for me as we've done this study of the scriptures is that it is God who does the forming, God who does the forgiving, God who does the creating of Christian community. And it's also clear then, I think, that the witness of the whole of Scripture, the witness of our Lutheran confessions indeed, is that God is the creator of Christian community for life together, to make a journey together as God's people. It's always been that way, hasn't it? From the very time of creation, the creation of Adam and Eve, through to the creation of a nation, the nation Israel. We are made for community and communion with God and with each other. Jesus says that even where two or three of us are gathered in my name, there I am. There is Christian community. From little things, big things grow. Maybe that's what we're about to see out our windows here at some point when a building project starts. I don't know. Maybe God at this time is opening up new possibilities for community and for mission. The book of Philippians has led us to the place, or at least it's led me to the place, that one of God's great goals for community is joy. To know eternal joy, to know God's joy over us. As we've studied the book of Philippians, we've discovered that that's a major focus, the theme of joy, the theme of joy in and for community. Paul says at the start of that letter, I always pray with joy for all of you because of your or our partnership, our fellowship, our community in the gospel. Joy and community in the gospel go together, you might notice. And I have to say, there are some wonderful things that go on in our community from time to time. You know, on the front of the Sunday Extra, and I hope you, everyone opens this up and has a look at it, but you know, don't need to go any further than the first page. The joy of community, as Stella spoke to people in the community room last Sunday, and as she's working on this project, Compassion, how the community came together to support that. And it's lovely to see her face on the front of the Sunday Extra. Also, as Sue mentioned, there's going to be a community meal next Sunday down at Station Street. All sorts of wonderful things happen. Yesterday, I turned up at Station Street in time to see all of these biscuits that had been baked by the young adults. Well done to Tyler and Connor and all of the people that were involved in that. That brings my heart much joy, and it is an opportunity and invitation for us all to be part of this wonderful community. And then to take that joy and share it in the world. Life in Christian community together. As a kid, I still experienced something of the time, I think, in rural settings, when the people who worked the land, and some of my ancestors were wheat growers, and I know nothing about it, I have to say, that when they came together for church, it was a really important time of community because they talked about the rain and the stuff that happened, and that's the way it was. But today things are different, I reckon. Do you? Society, life, expectation, workloads, all the, our leisure things, all these things make community a different concept, I think, in our world today. We have more choices, and maybe we have more challenges as well. Maybe less and less people today look to a local church to be a place where they'll go and just, if I'm new to this place, find community. And a community in a regional setting, like many of our congregations in the Lutheran Church of Australia, faces perhaps even more challenges too. Maybe for us, when there's a building project happening here, this will provide some challenges for our ministry, for our basic fellowship. But I'm really confident that we can use this time as an opportunity to be very creative in the way that we go about things. And I invite your creativity to come to the fore. We've got wonderful plans for this building, and you can see the plans in detail. Thank you to those people who have made this possible for a building to rise up here. But what and who will fill it? How can we use this building as an opportunity to invite people to experience community, real community, I would say, God's community? What might God's vision be for our mission here involving the new building? I invite you into this opportunity to have your creative say. And if I may just say my thanks to those of you who in the last couple of weeks might have filled out some of these, which you'll find in the pews where you're sitting. These are just response to sermon sheets, if you will. If you've got anything that you'd like to respond, and I'll pose some questions at the end of the sermon today, you can write them on here and include them in the offering bowl a little bit later. So my question, one of my questions, halfway through the sermon at least, is what is God calling us to? What's God up to here amongst our community to invite people to experience community around us? A challenge, I think, for Christian community is the way that we respond to adversity in our lives. My observation, and that's all it is that over 30 years of ministry, I think we've struggled more and more as a community to be resilient. As C.S. Lewis points out in one of my favourite books, The Screwtape Letters, the temptations of the evil one can often take us away so very quickly from our place of community. So may I ask your prayers for community? Would you please pray for our community of faith here at St. Paul's during this upcoming building project? Please pray. And will you please pray for our Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand as we come to a time of change and challenge as we approach the October 2024 Synod? The community at Philippi, we learned, started out in a very small way. They perhaps were very much in the minority where they were in their society. Sometimes it seems that our Christian faith and our community are no longer portrayed in various ways as being relevant or having something valid to say in the life of our community. It seems to me in many ways that we can feel small too, and that perhaps we're coming in our life together to a time of being at the crossroads. I think of the prophet Jeremiah's words in Jeremiah chapter 6, which go like this. Thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way lies, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. In the situation that Jeremiah writes into, the people of Jerusalem stand at the crossroads, and God's prophet calls them to follow the ancient path of God's promise, of God's word. For in following the path, the way of God, that way of God, they will find rest for their souls. And that's where our sermon took us last, our sermon text took us last Sunday. That very same promise of Jesus in Matthew 11, and I'll bring you rest for your souls as individuals, is the same promise that God makes to community. Here then is not just rest for individual, but for whole communities. The ancient path is the path we know. It's the way of the cross and the good news of and the promise of full life from God, to be served and to serve. The ancient path Jesus calls us to today is to look up to the cross and live. For I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself. Jesus forms community at the cross, a community which makes a difference. So, dear friends in Christ, spiritually look up and look around. There are others just like you, gathered by the Spirit to Jesus at his cross and sent by him to the people of the world who are yearning for community. The image that we've been using for this sermon series is the little Bible dolls that I've got in front of the lectern today. And when you come up for communion today, if you come forward and you happen to be able to see these, take a look at them. Take a close look if you like. You might see your reflection in the disciples' faces, and you'll see Jesus walking with you. God sends us, just like the two disciples that we'll meet again on Easter Day, who are on the road to Emmaus. Just two of them, and they're downcast. But by the presence of Jesus and by his word amongst them, they go running to tell the world of community the good news that Jesus' community is for them too. Life on the way of the cross is always a life of encouraging each other with this good news of Jesus and his cross. And it's always a life of being sent with the life of Easter in our breath and in our words. 25 years ago, my family and I shifted from the community of Alice Springs to the big city of Sydney. We found Alice Springs to be a place of great community, and the church played a really, really major part in it. When we went to Sydney, I witnessed people yearning for community. People who were disconnected and discombobulated for all sorts of reasons. People who wanted the very best for their families. They'd built big houses. They'd built big buildings. But they had no community. And I thought then, and I still believe now, that we as a Church of Christ have something major to give. We have a life-sized difference to make at the place of Jesus' cross. Very truly, he says to you and me today, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself. And God forms his community of faith to walk together with him on his way, the way of the cross. That's who we are as community. We are a small community sometimes, it seems, like the community at Philippi here on earth, and the community of God which today worships with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. We join in the book of Revelation where it talks of the great multitude that no one can count from all tribes and peoples and languages before the throne, before the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Life, eternal life community, that's who we are and that's what we have to offer. There is the joy of God over you and me. Dear friends, let's learn together as community to share God's joy with each other and with the world around us. For from little things, God's big things grow.